Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Season 2, episode 8 of the High and Outside podcast. We are running the two-man today. Unfortunately, Sid couldn't be with us. Courtney still out doing her thing. We love her. She's going to come back one day. You know, we're going to let her get everything going. You know, it was a long hockey season for her. But today, it's me and my boy Malik down there covering the Texas Rangers. Malik, how you feeling, my guy?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great, man. It's getting to that crucial point of the year. We almost have the dog days in August, but everybody's favorite holiday, the trade deadline, is coming up. So excited to see what the league looks like in a week from now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. We haven't been on in a while. I was able to go out to Philadelphia for All-Star week. You know, it's not a real weekend for Major League Baseball because they still have games going on. But was able to go out there. Philadelphia was a great host. I will say that. The Philly staff was amazing. Citizens Bank Park, very underrated in my opinion. These days with everybody going for like a similar look, I feel like it had its own unique feel to it. And in a certain aspect borrowed from other ballparks of the past, like they had, they have like seats past the concourse in center field that reminded me of the rooftops in Wrigley. Like, it's just a really beautiful ballpark. And if you're standing at behind home plate, of course, you see the Philadelphia skyline and everything. So it's a great seat, a great view from the press box. The auxiliary box was in left field this year. Fortunately, we were not in the line of fire for the home run derby like we were in Atlanta. So, you know, but that was great. They put on a show. Shout out to Jordan Walker. He was really amazing. His parents were really great. Really great moment there. First St. Louis Cardinal to win the home run derby, and that was great. And we ended up with a really good – well, I won't say really good game because, you know, the American League pretty much just steamrolled the National League. Their pitcher.
Yeah, but I mean, from mine and your perspective, I mean, yeah, White Sox, the White Sox hits the home run. And Jacob Glass got his one shining moment, gets the strikeout, possible future teammate Luis Arraez. So it was cool. And shout out to Philadelphia fans. I didn't think they would. I was talking with people before going out there, and I'm like, there's no way that they just go out there and they just boo everybody. I know they boo kids and they boo Santa Claus, but I feel like they really let their personality show, especially during the home run derby. And I mean, Jordan Walker, he's going to be public enemy number one out there for the rest of his career.
Bro, they were booing the kids shagging fly balls. Like, that's how they get down. But, I mean, I met some great people in Philadelphia, and they all said it. They told me, you know, yeah, we get a bad rep, like, you know, especially the Eagles games. But they were like, you know, we boo because we love our team. So, you know, they cheer for Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, of course. Unfortunately, Kyle couldn't get it done in the home run derby. That would have been a dope moment. But, like I said, Philadelphia, great city, will be back, especially now that they got LeBron. That little sports complex they got is perfect. Like, I think any city where you have public transportation that drops you off at a stadium is great. But to have it where you have your basketball stadium, your football stadium, and your baseball stadium all right there off a major train stop, that's amazing. That's really convenient. City was dope. People were dope. So I'll definitely be back. But let's get into what we got today. Of course, we're going to start it off with the NL East update. Sid is not here, so we'll give you a quick update about the Mets. They're terrible. And they're probably trying to trade every single person that they have outside of Juan Soto. They claim they're not trading Luis Robert, but that's like me telling you I'm not giving you an old pair of shoes. Like, of course not, because you don't want it. Like, what are we talking about? But it's a lot going on. The Atlanta Braves, you know, they were treading water, but fortunately they started to come together a little bit despite the pitching injuries, and we're going to get into that for a second. But right now, you know, they're 6-4 in their last 10, and they're currently 5.5 games up on Philadelphia. Last time we talked about how hot Philadelphia was. They are not hot anymore. They 3-7 in their last 10. And now it's looking like the Braves, you know, despite everything that's been going on, Ronald Acuna's been out. He came back yesterday when they got blasted by the Mets. We'll talk about that in a second. But with everything going on with the pitching staff and their injuries and, you know, setbacks that you really don't want to see when you've been waiting for guys to come back, you know, of course, I'm talking about Hurston Waldrop. Sidelined with right arm discomfort after exiting a Triple-A start. That's unfortunate. He's one of the younger guys they were waiting for to come back. A.J. Smith-Sarver, obviously, you know, still recovering from Tommy John surgery. He's in rehab. But you still have to wait for him to come back. You know, Spencer Swellenbach, bullpen sessions. And now, Robert Suarez. That's, you know, that's something that's now concerning. He's on a 15-day DL. He hasn't pitched. He hasn't even thrown a bullpen session. And, you know, this is one of the better relievers in baseball. And so now you're looking at a very thin pitching staff that, you know, Chris Sale has been holding it together like he always does. Just a, you know, true definition of ace, like I always say. But now you have to ask, you know, some questions. Yes, you got Ronnie back. But will this offense be consistent enough to carry you with no pitching or, you know, limited pitching? You saw today they got, you know, blessed with a rainout. So now you'll have a doubleheader tomorrow. You'll let that bullpen rest up. But you're really in a situation where this is a team that we really might need to see make a move, if not several moves, for starting pitching. Simply because you can't wait for the guys you have coming back. And, you know, that obviously afforded them the opportunity to look at a rental, look at somebody who, you know, we may not have going forward, but we'll have him this season. Because, you know, if you talk to anybody, I think the Braves are in the Scooble sweepstakes. I do think they would try to extend them. But at the same time, if you don't extend them, having Chris Sale and Terry Scooble as your 1-2 punch in the playoffs is a hell of a thing. You know, that's something that most teams won't be able to deal with. So that's something you have to look into. But overall, I think the Atlanta Braves, I absolutely have to make a move. They have to make a move. Let's talk about some of the pitchers that are available before I toss it to you, Malik. Of course, like I said, Scooble. The Twins came out and said that they're not trading Joe Ryan. So, you know, they say that, but we'll see if somebody reaches out what you can hear. But Casey Mize with the Detroit Tigers. Reed Detmers, you've heard him a lot. You know, heard him tied to the Chicago White Sox, heard him tied to a couple of other teams. Freddie Peralta, we were just talking about the Mets, you know. They have people, but, you know, it seems like they're sending out signals that they're not going to make that many trades. They're not going to make that many trades, but they're available. So you have these pitchers available. And, you know, Mason Miller, of course, is amazing. And he has, you know, 3 years of arbitrary control left, I believe three or three and a half. So you got options out there. Malik, if you were the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, what's your mindset going into this second half? Because, I mean, you've been able to withstand the run that the Phillies went on. They got within a game and a half. And, you know, now you have I'll never say comfortable lead in this division, but you have a reasonable lead now that you can build on. What would you do with a week left until the trade deadline?
My first thought for the Atlanta Braves would be to add some depth to that pitching staff. Like you said, whether it be out the bullpen or whether it be in the starting rotation. Tarik Skubal, that price is going to be high, and I for sure think you want to call in on them because they're going to be a few other teams in the NL that you don't want to see in the playoffs if they were to acquire Skubal. But a name I think they should go after, you named him right there, Skubal's teammate, Casey Mize, 2.70 ERA, 85 strikeouts. He was an all-star in 2025, probably could have made the all-star team this year. Real solid guy, and I don't think he's – If they're going to trade off on Scooble in Detroit, I think they're pretty much showing their hand that they don't think they can compete for the World Series this year. They've given the team itself opportunities. I believe last I checked, there's about six out of a playoff spot, so not looking too hot. And then, I mean, I think every team needs the extra bullpen arm, especially, like you said, with Suarez going down. You got to check in on Mason Miller. I think there could be a huge fire sale going on out there in San Diego with their inabilities, especially with a guy like Miller, who, I mean, they're likely not getting rid of a guy to take a – they're not finding a team to take Manny Machado's contract. I can't imagine them trading Fernando Tatis yet either. I think that might be more of a next season, offseason move, but – two guys I think that the Braves should definitely look in on are Mason Miller and Casey Mize, as well as Tarik Skubal. But I think a guy like Mize. And then, I mean, sadly, Jack Flaherty, he's been moved at the last couple of deadlines, a guy that he can never sort of – seems like he can never find a long-term deal. He's on the IL with a shoulder injury. I have to check in on his status before the trade deadline because his ability – to be available could be big for Detroit. That'd be another piece for them to move off of.
Yeah, bro. And you're absolutely right. I'm looking at the schedule coming up. You got the Nationals coming to town. You know, another team that's going to be, obviously, they're considered a seller almost every year. And this year might be no different. You've heard C.J. Abrams' name in some talks. We'll get to that in a second. But you got the Nationals coming up. You got the Marlins coming up. And you got the Yankees. You got the Mets again, the D-backs, the Twins. You have a makeup game against the White Sox. And then you have the Brewers coming to town, the Dodgers. So, you know, you have, you know, some decent challenges coming up this month. And if you're a team who's trying to pad your lead, you may have to make a move. But like I said, that pitching staff, while they've been able to piecemeal it together, it's still teetering. It's still, like I said, those issues you had at the beginning of the season, they've reared their head. You're still worried about certain things in terms of who's going to be those guys to be inning eaters. And then, like I said, a true number two to Chris Sale. You know, Grant Holmes had the amazing start to the season, but I'm sorry, not Grant Holmes, Bryce Elder, but he's come back to reality. So you just have questions about, you know, the rest of the home, Grant Helms as well. So there's just questions that need to be answered. And I think they may have to legit go into that market and get two starters. I think two starters with a team like the Braves, if you're talking about, if you truly want to win now, like if you're okay with waiting and saying, you know, we got some really good guys that we know are our future that are on the mend and coming back, then okay, you know, you do what you do. But if it's a situation where you feel like this team can win the World Series, this team can compete with the Dodgers, compete with the Yankees, compete with all of the teams that we expect to be there come October, then a move, I don't think, is out of the question. I think a move is necessary.
Yeah, and I mean, with the core that they have now, I don't see why you wouldn't roll with it. You got Olsen, Albies, Riley, Acuna out there. I mean, you got guys that they set their future a few years ago with some of those smart for them, maybe not smart for the players who signed it, but you got Albies cheap early. You got Ronnie on the cheap deal. You know, they brought in Olsen to cover for Freddie Freeman's loss. He's still in the prime of his career. Austin Riley, he's, you know, struggles this year, but I still think he's a great baseball player. So with the core they have now, and with, you know, we don't know what we'll talk about it later, but we don't know what next season's going to look like. I think you got to put your foot down, especially, I mean, this division, what the Marlins just off a 12 game losing streak, the Phillies can just seem like they can never get right despite, you know, that we all know about their core, but it's still a lot of questions to them. So I think this is a division that Atlanta can run away with. They need to focus on the bigger picture though. Those big fish, which on their in their case, I'll mention the Cubs along with them too, but it's the Brewers and the Dodgers.
Yeah, and shout out to Michael Harris. Michael Harris is currently hitting .298. He has an .829 OPS, 19 home runs, 61 RBI. So obviously going to be 2020 club. Can he reach 30-30? We'll see. I don't know. Let me see how many stolen bases he has. I'm not sure. But besides that, I'm with you with the core you have, with the potential this team has, with the way you plan to be a World Series contender every year. And, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. is back. For you to, if you were to sit here and not make a move at this deadline, it would be disappointing. Now, I know I saw somebody put the tweet out that there hasn't been a really, really big move in baseball since, you know, 2022 at the deadline. Is usually more secondary pieces, bullpen pieces, things like that being moved, utility bats, nothing really crazy. But I think we, you know, this could be the year, you know, we get something because there is that cloud of a potential lockout hanging over everybody's head. And they're like, you know what? Let's push our chips on the table and go for it. So, you know, with that being said, let's go right into it. The trade deadline, bro. The trade deadline, like I said, is 1 week away. And now we really have some questions about, you know, buyers and sellers. Like you said, we talked about the Marlins who, for a second, were, you know, of course, the team that everybody wanted to talk about for a second. And then that flipped. They're now the Marlins again. And so you have questions about who they have that's available. The Mets have been getting calls about everybody, even the backup catcher. They said today that they won't be trading them. You know, teams like the White Sox are certainly looking for a catcher with the Kyle Teal, you know, injury. They, you know, luck. I don't want to say luckily. Fortunately, it was not a, you know, Achilles or anything, just ankle sprain. But
you yeah, I gotta apologize to Kyle Teal because I've seen him play baseball twice. The first game, WBC, tears, pulls, grade three, strains his hamstring. And then two innings into the next game, we're up in the press box watching sprained ankle. They reported 12 weeks. That timeline got cut down, thankfully. But I just want to watch the kid play baseball, man. Sad for him.
Yeah, it's crazy because he hasn't really been able to find his footing so far this year. But, I mean, I think that happens with injuries as part of it. But, you know, that's one position where the White Sox are thin. And, you know, there were reports that, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, was, you know, sent down the word to get it done. Like, if they need to get somebody, go get somebody. Ozzie, to be, you know, be clear, Ozzie Guillen said this on a post game show after the, one of the recent White Sox games. So that was where I heard that. So if that's truly the case, if that's something that's actually going to happen, I think you have a situation where the White Sox, you know, like I said, Detmers has been tied to them. Soriano, there were reports that they will not trade any of their top 10 prospects, but then, you know, somebody walked that back. We'll see how true that is. But, you know, Bob Nightingale will always give us the White Sox updates because Jerry's his guy. Those will come out, I'm sure, as we continue to go toward the deadline. But, I mean, everything in Chicago has been, you know, pointing toward aggression. So before we talk about the White Sox in general, even though I think a lot of the names we've already mentioned, the names we will mention are, you know, players that they could potentially go after. Let's go with the, like you said, Marlins and Tigers have lost a lot of games. They don't seem to be in it. Could this next, you know, really 2 days before, you know, we get to the real, you know, finish line of the deadline, could this push them into the seller market? And does that mean Scooble's gone? Does that mean Sandy's gone? What are some things you think we could see from, you know, those two teams in particular before we talk about just a few players who are available?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with these last few games because a lot of, like, at some point, man, these teams know who they are. So maybe you can pull off some miracle wins. A team that reminds me of those two teams you mentioned is the Seattle Mariners. I got to watch them over the weekend against the Texas Rangers. It was a huge series for the AL West. They had a chance to overtake first place, and they got absolutely dominated. I believe besides the seventh inning on Sunday, there was no life from that team. And they're in a similar position, 2.5 back of the final AL wildcard spot. But with the energy that they were playing with the way that that lineup has struggled all season, they have a series against the Los Angeles Dodgers this week. So you could think, hey, man, if they're able to, you know, beat up on the World Series champs, maybe you keep this core together. Nah, I think it's time for them to cut off. I could see maybe a Randy Rosarena getting sold. I mean, in a team, I think, I hope I'm not jumping the gun, but that's one team I think the White Sox should be calling, whether it's for George Kirby, whether it's for Luis Castillo. I think somebody should check in on a Randy or Rosarena, possibly even a Josh Naylor if you need some help, but for the White Sox more on the starting pitching side. I think a lot of these teams' beds are made, but when you have so many teams, I'm just checking it now, just within, not even mention the Tigers who were 4.5 back, just 2.5 games back. That's one sweep, one good week of baseball away from being back in contention. I think it's going to be tough for some of these teams, but, you know, and things happen. It's a long season for the second half, but like a lot of these players have showed you their hand. So unless you're out there just balling out, man, for some of these teams, I think that decision has already been made. It's just going to come down to the market. How many top prospects do I have to get rid of to get this, you know, to get this rental, or who can I keep to keep my train rolling? Because I do think that when I look at these teams that are in the trade market, a lot of them can afford to sell off and still be able to compete with how, I don't know if the word is competitive or weak, but, you know, I mean, the American League in particular, is the word competitive or is it weak? I think a lot of these teams, including the Texas Rangers, who I could cover, could sell off a few pieces and also buy a few pieces, and you're still going to be in the same position you were if you stood still.
No, definitely, bro. So, and like I said, it's going to be extremely interesting. I'm going to see what the Cubs do. They need to add some pitching. I think that's a team that, you know, they're also in the Scooble sweepstakes. When you look at everything the Cubs are doing, you look at PCA, man, you're playing at the MVP level with all of the, you know, chatter that surrounds him consistently. He's really been out there performing. You can't do anything but tip your cap to him about that. But I mean, this is a team that, you know, like I said, that's another team that's really going to be in this pitching market. So I'm interested to see what they do.
And we can't sleep on the Los Angeles Dodgers, man.
Yeah, it's every year. Like, Kyle Teal's not playing like anything, and it doesn't matter how much money they spent. Like,
I mean, Shohei shut down from pitching with his knee, so who knows the true severity of that. But Blake Snell out, Tyler Glass now out, and those are guys, and also Shohei Ohtani included, you cannot trust those guys to come back in a few months and they'll be good and peachy for the rest of the season. That was supposed to be their case with both of those guys, coming into the season. Top three of their top 10 or five prospects are all outfielders. And in the sense of what teams want when they're giving, hey, man, I need a bat. A lot of guys need a bat, a young bat. Well, they got everything you need. And there's some greedy folks out there in Los Angeles. So when you talk about the pitching market, I know, you know, teams like the Braves need it. I know the White Sox need some rotational depth, but they're the Dodgers. They're all in no matter the cost. They'll write the blank check. They're worried about the salary cap when the salary cap gets here. They want that. What would that be? Three straight rings?
Yeah. Yeah, like Dave Roberts said, let's go ruin baseball again. So, no, you're right. That's definitely a team you got to keep an eye on. One position player that we'll talk about briefly who's been in the mix, C.J. Abrams, you know, hottest hitter in baseball since the All-Star break. The Nationals are the Nationals. They claim that, you know, not only is C.J., James Woods is also potentially available to me, which would be insane. But with the way that, you know, front office operates, they may be ready to, you know, tear it down and rebuild again. So you've heard that. But, I mean, teams like the Yankees have checked in and the Red Sox have checked in on CJ. Do you think he gets moved? And if he does, if the Yankees could finally get away, you know, not get away, but let the Anthony Volpe dream die. Let it go.
Yeah.
If you got a guy like CJ in the Bronx, I think that would be my CTV. But what do you think these guys get moved? And if so, you know, where does a guy like CJ go?
Okay. If either of the two go, if James Wood watches CJ Abrams get traded, I think he should make it a point. I don't care how many years you got left on that deal, how many arbitrations, do not resign with them. You're only a game out of a playoff spot, man. Just rolling. Best offensive baseball. Go get us some pitching so your bats can handle it. So I really can't see James Wood getting moved. Possibly a C.J. Abrams, just with, you know, it's been a conversation for a few years, and I know they got a little bit of farm system depth, but there's nobody in that system that's coming up and impacting them like a C.J. Abrams. But you name the perfect team for him. I mean, I always think the Braves should get a superstar shortstop. I think that's something that if the Braves got a superstar shortstop, I would see that roster and I would piss my pants because that's I know star power and names isn't everything, but man, you could get that guy back in Atlanta. That's a stacked team. But I think you named them the New York Yankees, the Anthony Volpe dream. Yeah, it's done. And I saw some comments from New York that they're thinking about they would move. That defense has been an issue with C.J. Abrams, so you know they may want to move in the center field. That's And I'm not going to go on a tangent, man, but let an Anthony Volpe figure it out at shortstop after the three, four years of error-loaded baseball. To not let C.J. Abrams get that shot at shortstop would be kind of crazy to me. I don't know how you'd have to flip it. I don't think they'd want to move Jazz over there, you know, however they fluctuated. But no Aaron Judge, no Cody Bellinger, Giancarlo Stanton, you don't know the timetable for those. You don't have a specific timetable. They think a few weeks for Belly, 6 weeks at the max. But Judge and Stanton, two playoff bats you're going to need. The Yankees have to go grab a bat. And a bat like CJ, I feel like, will fit that team perfect, especially when you can go Cam Schlittler, Garrett Cole, Max Fried, Carlos Rodon is your fourth option. I think that's a move that I've been waiting on the Yankees to make. I know they had Juan Soto a few years ago, but there were still, you know, little holes in that lineup. But, man, if you can add CJ and then hopefully, best case scenario, you get an Aaron Judge and a Belly and a Stanton all back at the playoffs. That's to me, that's a team that can be – that I would consider the favorite to win the AL. With their pitching staff, I understand statistically they're the best in baseball, bullpen-wise, solid top numbers in baseball, but – their average is just too low. They have to get some hitters in New York to win a championship. And I think if they got a guy like T.J. Abrams, that could happen. But Washington, please. Juan Soto. Then they have Kyle Schwarber for a little bit.
They have Juan Soto. They have Bryce Harper. They have Kyle Schwarber for a second.
It's a revolving door, man. And like I say, man, you're one game back of the Pittsburgh Pirates, man. Like, take your shot at it, man. They're in the same boat as you guys, where they're – I think Pittsburgh would be less aggressive in the selling market, but they always have prospects and pitchers that they can afford to let go. Even a guy we haven't mentioned, I heard it mentioned earlier, is O'Neill Cruz. Pittsburgh playing extremely well with him. A lot of teams could use that left-handed bat. I know his defense is a little shaky. You could find a DH spot with him, especially in New York. New York, another place for Wendell Stanton. So, Nationals, man, make that push. I think you got something good and talented, and not to mention it's a great representation of Black baseball out there. You know, Nunez, DJ, Woods, Dalen Weil. Man, it could be a tough Nationals team for years to come if they keep CJ.
Yeah, we know that means they definitely won't keep CJ, but I absolutely agree with you. It's gonna be fun to see, man. I think it's gonna be a few moves. I hope we get a big move. I really do, just because I think baseball is better when we have action at the deadline, especially if it's a team that's putting it, like I said, pushing all their chips to the center of the table, really going for it. That's something I want to see. Before we get out of here, Malik, I'm going to ask you, just give us a quick update with the Rangers. I know you were at the stadium a few days ago, last week. What's going on with Texas, and how is everything going down there?
Oh, man. After losing the series to the Chicago White Sox, it was a little doom and gloom, and there was pressure. I say it was a big series. With the AL West, we all know it's coming down to the last 2 weeks, so it could be a big series today, and then whatever happens this week, you know, it washes off the weekend. But it truly was a big series for them to go in, step up, dominate against the Mariners. I think that showed the front office a lot. Jock Peterson, man, he had a great career before coming to Texas. He turned his Texas tenure around this year. He's one of the hottest bats. He's on a one-year contract, so I think it's a possibility he gets traded. But the guy is playing too good, and with a guy like Corey Seager being so unreliable, I don't think you can move him. I think what Texas will do, though, is they will rely on guys that are injured to come back to help a starting rotation that's a little bit depleted right now. Jordan Montgomery, a World Series hero from a few years ago, he should be pitching most likely this weekend against Houston. Cody Bradford, another guy who impacted that World Series team, left-handed pitcher in the bullpen, he'll help out some. I do think they need a high leverage arm. All-star Jacob Ladd and a former he's journeyman, Jacob Junis. It's a little bit too much pressure on them. Nicky Lopez, man, is balling out. I think how good Nicky's playing, if you can get – which you never know with Corey Seager. If you can know a little bit more about Corey Seager being effective, I know the talks about Luis Arraez to Texas are kind of loud, but if you have a Nicky Lopez on the team who's hitting 300, who's, you know, putting the ball in play, able to bunt, not to the ability of Luis Arraez, but, I mean, the numbers are there, and the strikeouts will never be what Arraez are, but you sort of have that position filled. You have a Ezekiel Duran, one of the more under, I think he'll be up for a utility gold glove later this season. But you have spots, and with Jock Peterson playing as good as he is, I don't think Arraez really fits with the Texas Rangers right now. I hope that they're in on a guy like Mason Miller, but a hard throwing bullpen arm for the, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, which every team needs. And possibly, you know, just a right-handed bat to go on the bench. You know, just with the amount of injuries, and the Rangers, they're real left-handed heavy. When you name Brandon Nimmo and a few, you know, Seager, like I said, Peterson, Evan Carter, and, you know, some lefties, if they don't feel comfortable facing left-handed pitchers, well, I think you can go grab a low-tier right-handed bat. Like I said, I don't see major aggression from the Texas Rangers. I don't see Corey Seager getting moved off the team this season, although there's a no trade clause that kicks in for him for 5 years of service time with the same team, I believe. That'll kick in with him, I believe, in December or January. So possibly if the Rangers continue to look too good without him and they get a big offer that they can't refuse, I think they would do it. But that's a guy that, despite his struggles this season, I think he deserves a chance to we see what the man does in the playoffs. I think he deserves a chance to do that. So it'll be interesting to see with that move. I don't think he moved, but yeah, a high leverage arm and possibly a right-handed bat, and people to just get healthy and stay healthy. I know when you come off Tommy John surgery, you can't expect to be the same guy you were, but I think that's sort of what the Texas Rangers are banking on.
Yeah, man, we're going to see, bro. I think it's going to be extremely interesting, especially because, like you said, the Rangers still in the race. There's so many teams still in it. This week is really going to shake out a lot, and I think, you know, if we are to have a major move, need a few more teams to lose, just a little bit more. But I mean, we'll see. We'll definitely be back with y'all. That's all we got today. You know where to follow us at Barbershare Co. on Twitter and Instagram. Check us out at the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershare network, man. All things BC, all things Barbershare, please check out the bcnet.com. We always appreciate it. For Malik and Dante, we'll see y'all soon. Y'all be easy. Thank you, as usual, for tuning in.